Okay, we need 9 to be able to deal with the next thing, and we have 10, 11, so that's enough for us to, just before we actually get to cap 26, I'll call us back to order here. And we do have some additions and a replacement page. And so those are before us here. I don't know if somebody would care to move those. Yeah. Councillor Caterina?
I'll move the additions of building budget building blocks, page 36, 37, branch neighborhood parks and community recreation districts, Green Shack program, page 204A, branch real estate housing economic sustainability, Northern Circumpolar Secretariat interim fund, page 3373A, and branch the quarters community revitalization levy, quarter CRL phase 2, page 399A.
And these are all additions to the operating
These are all
budget.
Additions and a replacement.
And
replacement.
And keep going, yeah.
Replacement pages, Capital City Downtown Community Revitalization Levy, Downtown CRL, page 408. Addenda required a special resolution on that one. And I think that's
Yep, that's it. That's the package we've been presented, so most
Second.
Of it's operating. But, yeah, okay, thank you for seconding that. Councillor Henderson, you have a question on
well,
that?
Well, only I'm just wondering, since we're adding stuff to the operating budget, which is what I was trying to do before, whether
No, we're just adding pages to the report, effectively.
That's all I was trying to do as well.
Oh, you want a motion to
bring the report forward, just bring the service package forward.
Oh, I misunderstood that you were proposing an amendment to the operating budget.
No, I just want the service package.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Yeah. I misheard. Mea culpa.
No, it was just
chair.
To get the service package into the book for when we look at the operating budget.
Well, let's vote on this because we don't have that before us to add, but I'll come back to you for a motion to request its addition. Yeah, I don't think that's a problem. Councillor Anderson?
Can I ask a question about this?
Not until we're done voting on the addition of these pages, but I will come back
Whenever
to you.
Whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I'll come back to you for that in a moment. Please vote on the addition of these pages to the various binders and display the vote. That's carried. Councillor Henderson, do you have a motion? Or do you want to work with the clerks to put it all together and then we can deal
well,
with
I
it?
Well, I just need the number of the service package from Mr. Ohm. Does he have it? Do you know that service package that you guys have on the...
Councillor, I do, but I don't have it with me.
You have the number? Okay, I'll do it later. That's
come,
fine.
Once you have it, Councillor?
If I can do it now, then we have the paper when we get to the operating budget. That's all I was trying to do. So.
Yeah, and we're not going to... We'll have a few opportunities later today once you get the information. Councillor Anderson, questions on the handout?
Yes, thank you. Just trying to compartmentalize the information in my head so it makes sense if I talk to somebody about it. This tax-supported debt tracking, the black bolded numbers, Ms. Rosen, are the individual project in an individual year increase in property tax.
That's correct.
So going across to the right under tax levy, using Westbrook Transit Garage as an example, 0.97% of 97% of 1%, which is 97% of 12.5 million,
yes,
is the total tax levy for that project.
The cumulative at that period of time, yes.
And it stays in the base until the end of that debt?
Yes, which in that instance I believe is 20 or 25 year debt.
So that by the end of 18 in that case, there will be almost a 1% property tax for 25 years to pay that particular project off?
Yes.
And if I add down the extreme right-hand column under tax levy, the individual projects listed there, the total is 1.74. Is that the overall impact at the end of 2019 for 25 years to pay off all of those debts?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Councillor McKean, on this, or?
Same, on the same table. I was just intrigued, Ms. Rosen, the the bottom line, the smoothing line, 0.49 in 2015 down to 0.06 in 2019. Is there a reason why we would not smooth that? That they would not be a similar amount year over year?
So we actually smooth between 15 and 18 to the best of our ability.
Okay.
And what's in 19 is more a reflection of the fact that we used 80% of what was projected to be spent because that's our actual experience. And so 19 is just sort of a little bit of a cleanup because of the way that we the way that we did that.
So and it's not as big a difference, obviously, but 0.49 to 0.36, could we have smoothed those numbers out to have an average, say?
We could. I think that the way that we actually approached this is, as you know, every year the amount that is equivalent to 1% goes up. And so it gets a little bit tricky in terms of you're playing with two variables then. You're trying to smooth on the basis of two variables. And so this was as close as we could come given the time that we had.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Councillor Oshry?
Just quickly, sorry. Can you explain what you just said about the 80%? That we only spend 80%?
So historically, as you know, because we do performance reporting on capital to you, we only actually spend 80% of our capital in a given year. We are cleaning up we are improving our budget practices in order to try and spend more of that, but in order to be accurate, because really what this is it's an indication of our projections against actuals. For the actuals, we used 80% of the cash flow spend as opposed to 100% of the cash flow spend because that's our experience.
So just to simplify that and to be clear, so you're saying, so why wouldn't we take that into account and decrease the capital needed by 10% to be safe?
So,
am I understanding what you're
saying? Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is that even though we've said that this represents what we can get accomplished in the 4 years, 15 to 18, there's some left over in 19 because there's a carry forward impact.
Because we don't get it all.
Because we don't get it all done.
We don't spend the money.
Yeah, but you also don't get the tax increase until we actually need the money. This is, if I can just remind you, that this is just so that we do the tax increase in advance of actually needing it, so that we can get pay-as-you-go money, so that we can actually purchase some more infrastructure. That's how we're smoothing it out.
So it's not like we're asking the citizens to pay money
for something that they're not going to be able
to spend for a year or two later.
Not at all. We're doing it for priority infrastructure projects.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Deputy Mayor, if you can take the chair.
The chair.
So just a clarification for the bottom line. In 2015, that's, say, $5.5 million. $6 million, say.
So $6.3 million, approximately.
Is what point four?
Yeah, because
you're doing $6.3 million in 15, another $6.3 in 16, another $6.3 in 17, another $6.3 in 18?
Yes,
so you smoothed it by the dollar value.
We tried.
And because the value of 1% sort of compounds over time, that's why the percentage drops off?
Yes.
Okay.
We could smooth on the percentage, though, Mayor Iveson. You know, if you direct us that way, for decision making purposes, it's not really going to be tremendously different for this today. But we can bring that back to you tomorrow so that those percentages are equal.
It's getting into the department of a rounding error over time, but
it is.
But that's useful to know. Thank you for that clarification. I'll take back the chair. Okay. My favorite, and I totally lost the little sheet. Here it is.
Good luck.
Arwen Aubrey Herbert's grade 6 class from George H. Luck Elementary School in Ward 9. Welcome to City Hall. I'm sure your counselor, Counselor Anderson, is pleased to see you here, but all of us are always pleased to see students when you're studying local government come down to City Hall. So we hope you will be intrigued by our discussion about our infrastructure budget, which we are carrying on with right now. So, all right, thank you. Okay, we're now ready to bring forward CAP 26, which is Councillor McKean.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. And this particular profile is for the 102 Avenue Bikeway from 96th Street all the way to 136th Street at an amount of $8.779 million. And I just want to say quickly that when the budget documents were released and the 83rd Avenue Bikeway was funded this time and the 102 Avenue wasn't, my email inbox started to ping. And then I started to hear from the communities and the community leagues, from Glenora to Westna to Oliver, downtown Boyle Street. I was surprised by the amount of interest, and maybe shouldn't have been, but then there was the coalition formed around this issue, and when we had that event, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, they had 1,100 people that had signed up on its advocacy campaign. So I will talk more about this later, but I'm very happy to bring it forward.
Okay. Are there questions on this one? Councilor Knack?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now, I know there's some consultation taking place right now on 102 Ave, but the one thing we can ask is we're not proposing to spend $8.779 million on painted lines.
That's correct. This would be much more significant infrastructure, separated bike lanes, dedicated cycle signals, that sort of thing.
Why are we proposing that over painted lines?
Well, I think the vast preference is for separated bike infrastructure, high-quality infrastructure, and this is through a dense part of the downtown.
So better safety for those that are cycling. We're not, at least from the proposals I've seen, we're not, especially the cycle track that I just saw, we're not proposing to take away a lane of traffic on 102nd Avenue. We're looking to provide high-quality infrastructure that will be able to be cleared separately using different tools, similar to what we have on our pathways and our trails in the River Valley.
Correct.
Thank you.
Councillor Sohi.
Okay. So, when we had a couple of reports come to Transportation Committee related to cycling infrastructure, we heard from many people who were upset about bike lanes in more of the suburban communities, and then out of that we should be focusing on more urban where need is. So I'm a little surprised to see that this came as kind of unfunded when we had that discussion at committee, even though we didn't give that direction. But the sense was that in the future, we're going to work on these high-need, high-use corridors.
Well, certainly the experience from the last 3 years has been that the preference is for high-quality infrastructure. The capital budget does contain the 83rd Avenue bike lane, which is about $4 million, and as well, the profile for 102 is here for consideration.
Okay, and is all the – I also heard that some of the work has to be coordinated with the LRT.
Yes, there's a stretch right in the heart of downtown that would be coordinated with the Southeast LRT construction.
And that's from the 95th to
102
along 102nd, right? So, but this budget is within the next 4 years, and LRT construction, I don't know when the staging, how it will be staged, but all that coordination will help, so some of the money may be spent over in 19 or 20 instead of 17 or 18 or...
That's correct. We would the parts where there overlap, we would make sure that we are coordinating closely with the LRT contractor so that it's all done seamlessly.
Okay. So the 8.7 million might not be spent in this budget cycle. It could be going into next budget cycle.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Henderson?
Yes, really quickly, because I know I went to the open house on this route that was barely a week ago. I think it was probably less than a week ago. I don't know if you can respond yet, but it was my impression that it was very well received, that this is a, you know, and it was, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it was partly well received because for the first time we were putting infrastructure on the table that I think everybody recognized was worth the effort. Would that be a good description?
That's accurate. We had great feedback from the evenings.
Yeah, and it, because we were really putting the option, I mean, we gave them a couple of options, but for the first time, and there seemed to be huge enthusiasm for it, there really was truly a separated bikeway that was being proposed. And my impression was the vast majority of people wanted us to do the real thing.
That's accurate.
Great, thanks.
Councillor Walters?
Thank you. Can you, why is it 8.79 million? Mr. Wanzer, I can't really ascertain that in the profile.
Well, it's fairly extensive work when you start talking. If you start talking separate bicycle signals, concrete separated lanes, you're doing a fair amount of work, which is significantly more cost intensive.
Okay, so the consultation underway, which, you know, like Councillor Sohi said, it was, you know, clearly from my constituents and many, we all heard that, you know, that this would be a good way to kind of restart the plan. So there's lots of desire for it to be there, so it's this is a good place for it to go. But the consultation is still underway, so the kind of lane, is that determined yet?
We based the estimate on both the highest quality could be, you know, that would be part of the consultation. So if there is the consultation leads us to a less cost intensive solution, that might bring the cost down. We cost this at the highest cost.
Okay, I gotcha. So the it's all cash flowed in here in 2015. So can you talk a little bit about the relationship with the LRT line? And again, is that just a placeholder?
It's just a placeholder, and we have a little more. We have some design finalization to do. I think in reality, it would probably flow into 2015 and 2016.
Okay, that's all I had. Thanks,
Councillor Essinger.
That was my question too. So, based on the consultation, we're going to be doing all this work in the next year and two. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, for 102 Avenue, that's currently unfunded. But we would be looking to do the 83rd.
Okay, but for this one here, how long will it take to spend this $8.7 million? Will all the work be done in the next 4 years, or is that just the entire cost of the project?
No, that's the entire cost of the project. We have to finish the consultation, concept design, and do detail design, and then start construction. And ultimately, that last tail end on the east side, we want to connect with the LRT, Southeast LRT construction between 95th and 100 or 102.
So you're asking for the 8.77, or that's what this profile is, and that's the entire project, but you won't use it this entire 4 years?
No, in the 4 years, it'll be all. There will be a small carryover to align with the Southeast LRT construction, which will happen in the 17, 18, 19 window.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Councillor Oshry?
So why doesn't this go all the way to 142nd Street if we're going to do it? I know there's like a share, there's like a, I don't know what you call it.
Multi-use trail.
Multi-use, yeah. Hey, Mabel, can you answer that first question?
Yeah, I don't think I have an answer for you right now, Councillor Oshry. We can find some of the historical reasons why it would terminate there.
Yeah, okay. And the new bridge, this is all included, right?
That's correct.
The railroad bridge?
Correct, 102 Avenue.
Okay. So now with the separate infrastructure, generally, we're going to have three different types of bike lanes in the city. Like, we're going to have separate infrastructure, we're going to have shared, well, maybe more shared use trails, we're going to have shared share rows, and then we're going to have painted lines.
And there's different levels, the on-street markings, shared use lanes, share rows, bike boulevards are potentially part of the consultation, and separated bike lanes.
And so did you look at the potential safety issues? I mean, it gets sort of complicated, right, with all these different
I think they're all very site-specific and dependent on the environment they're traversing through. So part of the consultation gauges the public interest, desire, as well as the technical feasibility and the safety of what we're doing.
So we're confident that having multi-faceted types of bike infrastructure is not a safety concern?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So there are no other questions. I've just got one, actually. Councillor Essinger, if you could take the chair.
The chair.
So the 83rd Avenue one, by comparison, has a renewal component to it because I think some of the roads there need to be redone. This one had no renewal component to it at all. Is that because the roads there are sort of satisfactory to work with here, or...
That's right. We weren't anticipating, or the roads weren't in a condition to warrant a reinvestment.
Okay. So the good news is they're good enough to put this kind of infrastructure on.
Yes.
But the cost is when if you start to move around some curbs to make some things happen, there's some potential drainage impacts. That is one of the more significant costs of this type of infrastructure.
Correct. If you can bundle these with renewal, it just makes the whole thing much more efficient.
That makes the 83rd Avenue one a good candidate because there's some work that needs to be done there anyway.
Correct.
In essence, the good news is the roads that this is going on are in reasonable enough shape that unfortunately we can't piggyback on, say, neighborhood renewal that's looking at that street or arterial or collector renewal that would be looking at parts of that street. But I would have guessed that one of the more significant parts of this would be the bridge. But the bridge, I think we had reports on this previously, the bridge can accommodate whatever configuration we would contemplate for this.
Correct.
And it's not too late in the process to
make that final adjustment.
Okay, thank you. I'll take the chair back. Councillor Caterina.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On 10, you said that you still got to go through the consultation, the planning, design, right? Is that what you said?
Correct. We've finished some consultation. We need concept planning and some.
Okay, so you need the concept planning, design work, and that. So, what's the contingency built into here? If you run into, for example, the mayor just mentioned possible curbs and drainage issues, and that, have you got a contingency, or is it normal plus or minus 50?
The 8.7 is anticipated the highest possible cost. All of our work would have a contingency built in.
Okay, so if this is the highest cost, give me a range of where the lowest could be, or the middle could be, or I can figure out the middle if I have the high and the low. This is the highest. You're not anticipating this to balloon to something else.
Well, right now we're at concept. We're not at detailed design. We haven't even established what the final concept is going to be. But if there's a preference for less quality infrastructure or less, say, more bike boulevard look than bike lanes and separate bike lanes, this cost would come down. So it's a little preliminary for me to give you what it is because we haven't quite landed on what we're going to be building here.
Okay, but so I understand you correctly, this number that you're proposing here is at the high end if certain infrastructure is picked versus other infrastructure.
That's correct.
That's so.
This would be the higher cost, segregated bike lanes versus something like a bike boulevard or something different.
Okay, and that will happen. How is that decision going to be made? Obviously, the highest number is the number we're going to be, or you're going to be designing to, I would imagine, but
how
do you make that decision?
We've done some public consultation early. We have some analysis to do and some decisions to make. We haven't arrived at those decisions at this point.
Okay, and so when is that going to happen? When is that decision going to be made or analyzed?
We'll be mid-year this year. We'll be in a place where we're at a decision. Likely engaging back with the community. Here's what you can expect to see, and then that's when mid-year is our best estimate.
Mid-year 2015. So summer of 2015 is what you're looking at, figuring out what type of infrastructure you're putting in.
Yeah, that's about when we'd start detailed design.
Okay. And the cost of the detailed design is how much out of this? For this type of project,
typically about 10% of a construction cost.
So $800,000.
probably. $800,000.
Okay.
Yes.
For the detailed design. And you would start construction when? 2016 then?
It depends on the type of infrastructure you're looking at, but either 2015 or 2016.
Okay. Is this part of the council's direction to look at university and downtown? Is this stretch part of that, or is this something outside of that?
No, this would be part of our commitment to look at to move away from the suburban bike lanes and then focus a little bit more on the bike dense neighborhoods, university, downtown, and really it's where people are inviting us to be. That's where we want to be.
This fits into what council's sort of direction was.
Correct.
A number of months ago to limit it or bring it into those two areas, university and downtown.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Anderson.
Following Councillor Katarina's question, you said you haven't done concept yet, concept design, or you're...
We have we've just finished the public consultation. We've shown us we've had some options around types.
So in terms of high lows, 8779 is the conceptual cost of the best kind of bike infrastructure. If you chose a lower level, it might be $6 million for a second level or $4 million for a third level if you go down in quality. So 8779 would be the conceptual price for the best possible bike infrastructure in this location.
Correct.
And I don't know about you, but I'm still working on numbers that I was given years and years ago, that conceptual design is plus or minus 50, preliminary engineering plus or minus 20, detailed engineering plus or minus 10.
Correct.
Okay, so that 8779 is a conceptual price, which is plus or minus 50 on the best kind of infrastructure that you could build.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. I think that's a better answer than you previously got. If I was talking to a citizen, would I be very wrong if I said that this project is going to spend $2.2 million a year for 4 years to give us the best kind of bicycle infrastructure over a 40-block stretch?
That might be close.
Thank you.
Four years in there.
Budget cycle. Thanks.
Do you have a question, Councillor, or no, to speak to it? Okay. Are there those wishing to speak? Okay. Yeah, just click on, because Councillor McKeon closed. Councillor Narek.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason that I'm supporting this is because it's not, and this is the question that I asked at the first point, this isn't painted lines. We could cheap out and spend $1 million and paint some more lines on 102 Ave, and then we're going to end up with the same sort of challenges that we faced in the other parts of the city, including what I've been challenged with in Ward 1. So I don't want to support another 95th Avenue, which to this day I still get multiple messages a week on that, and I would like to move on from that discussion, that debate. This is higher quality infrastructure that is not going to take away traffic lanes on a lot of, well, I know on the majority of this stretch. The whole point is, I know west of 124th, getting into the West End, we're not taking away lanes of traffic. There's going to be some different designs a little bit east of 124th, but the other piece, and this is a little bit to Councillor Autry's, is that this is the cycle track, if that's the idea that moves forward, is a little different than a shared use path, but we'd actually maintain it in a very similar fashion. So the equipment that we'd use to maintain a multi-use trail would be used to maintain this. So we're finding those efficiencies. We're not developing three different pieces that require three separate pieces of infrastructure, buying a whole bunch of new equipment, and adding additional operating costs. What I'd heard after, and talking to everyone that I've talked to over the last year, the question I always ask people is if they would be willing to support infrastructure in spots where there's already a high demand, where there's already people who are asking for this. And that's, over and over again, I heard from people, even people that hate the lanes as is right now, they were very happy to support infrastructure that was going to be high quality, that would help produce better quality results for all methods of transportation. So whether you're driving, whether you're cycling, whether you're walking, doesn't make a difference. The other reason, and this is a perfect example, I'm talking about 95th Ave, as I drove west today to the West End Senior Center for their little lunch session, drove down 95th Ave, and of course it was covered in snow, all the bike lanes. So again, we at the time, that's another reason why we can't support the same old, because it's that's why people do get frustrated. They see that piece of infrastructure that's not being utilized. The only thing it's doing is storing snow. And that's what they initially picture, but that's not what we're proposing in this. This is fulfilling a certain different demand. It's going to actually improve safety. And as somebody who a year and a half ago would never have considered himself a cyclist, I cycled, you know, in the spring and summer, but I consider myself anything but that. Now I'm somebody that's biking to work almost every day, and even in the middle of winter, and it's changed my perspective. Having that opportunity to bike last June with a group of individuals who convinced me to bike downtown, very different experience. I never would have expected that would have changed my entire mindset to see what they're facing every day, and now I know what that experience is. So very much supportive of this. This is not the same old. That's the biggest message to pass along, because this is a significantly higher quality infrastructure that's going to make the experience better for everyone that's using our roads, drivers, pedestrians, and cyclists. So I encourage other members of council to support this.
Councillor Henderson?
Yeah, I think what's important about this is it's finally living up to the commitment and the shift that we asked for a number of years ago, to actually, instead of doing opportunistic second-rate work that did not really serve the bike community in a significant enough way for the trade-offs that were happening in communities, this actually puts quality infrastructure. I would argue with a little bit that this is the highest quality infrastructure, because I think the real Cadillac is we're not getting to yet. I've been on the real Cadillac in other cities, and this is not necessarily going to be it. But it will be really good, safe infrastructure that will allow the kind of riders that want to ride but don't feel safe riding right now on our streets to be able to use these corridors and use them in a safe way. I think it will be the kind of infrastructure that will give clarity of motorists, which I think is a large part what they're asking for, because I think the hybrids are frustrating them and they're frustrating the users. I think it gets us where we say we want to go. Yes, it costs a bit more money, but that was the indication we gave, that we wanted to get good quality infrastructure, even if we understood there would be less of it than what we were doing before, which was not getting significant bang for the buck, getting a lot of stuff that was not giving a huge lift to the user, and was creating other problems. So I think this is an area of town where we are going to get heavy ridership. We know there's heavy ridership there already. This allows us to do the kind of quality of infrastructure that will really be able to get more people out there feeling safe to use it, and I think will also really help in terms of the flow of traffic and for motorists, because it'll be really clear where things need to be. And probably most important, it will actually substantially increase the safety of what we're doing for all users. And I would really encourage, we need to get on with this. We've been trying to get this going now for a number of years. I would really encourage council to support it so we can get on with something we've been wanting for a long time.
Thank you. Councillor McKean to close.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I do not ride my bike in the winter. And if I do ride my bike, which probably isn't often enough, it's usually on the River Valley trails. I brought this forward because of a demand from the community. And it's interesting that the emerging generations, people in their late teens, 20s, and 30s, are not as reliant on cars as my generation. And that's not just me saying that. There's been research to show that and some theories as to why that's happening. But one of them is they just don't want to spend the money on cars. And a lot of those folks are moving to the core. So I keep hearing from them that they want this infrastructure. And it goes beyond the practical, I think, into sort of the symbolic. They want to see this city council invest in this infrastructure as a sign that we get it, that this is the kind of city they want to live in or move to. And we are not on the leading edge on this at all. We are behind. And I the whole thing about, well, we're a winter city, and I get that, but, you know, and I think Councillor Knack's experience is a good one, that people will take this up, but I think they're more likely to take it up if we have safe, segregated bike lanes. The $8.779 million sounds high to me. Everything sounds high to me, though, I think, but... And I'm really interested in working with transportation to see if we can bring those costs down, and if we can be creative, and if we can create spaces that are not just great for cyclists, but good for motorists, and great for the communities that they run through, that there will actually be an impact on the feel of those spaces. And it was really interesting to hear at that coalition press conference they held, they really were wanted to be clear this wasn't bikes versus cars. And what struck me at one point is how important it is that we get people walking and on transit onto bikes, because our roads are already so congested. There's so many pinch points already. So to me, my argument to a number of people is, if you love to commute by car, you should want bike lanes, because maybe you'll get some of those other people out of their cars and onto the bike lane. So I hope we support this. I think it's overdue. I think it's worthwhile, and I don't think we're going to hit $8.8 million on this, and we'll return some to some supplementary capital budget upcoming. Thank you very much.
Please vote. And display the vote. And that has carried unanimously. All right, what's next?
Let's just line them up and vote them.
Next up, Councillor McKean with, now that the vote's taken, I'll say very well said. Very good comments. Councillor McKean on CAP 27.
Thank you very much, and I want to start by thanking Councillor Oshry, who I think was the person who initiated this, so I want to thank him publicly for that. My initiative is mental health, and I got to tell you, when this was first brought before us, I shouldn't be speaking to this really, but...
No, you can speak to it to introduce it.
When this was first brought before us, I was really skeptical, because mental health and depression and suicide, these are huge societal issues. And one bridge barrier seemed to me to be putting a Band-Aid on a bigger problem. And it was just kind of symbolically doing something small. But the evidence we were able to receive over time is that, in fact, there are, and I have the numbers, but it looks like it's maybe around as many as a dozen at the peak in a year of people who end their lives by jumping off the high-level bridge, tragically. And the evidence is that there are places in cities around the world that become high-profile glamour spots to end your life. And people sometimes make these decisions in the spur of the moment, in a moment of immediate heartbreaking grief, and if they're somehow deterred, they in fact will not take their life. That's the evidence, that there's actually a net reduction in suicides when you take away these glamour, high profile places, suicide places. So that's why it's here today. I thought it was $3 million is a small amount of money to pay to save these lives, and I'll stop. Thank you.
Well, that introduces the motion. Are there any questions? I have just one. Councillor asking her if you could take the chair.
The chair.
I just want to check in because we had discussed this at considerable length before, in terms of the need, which I think Councillor McKean has very eloquently addressed, but also in terms of the best technical solution. And Council had previously recommended this option, and I just wanted to check in with administration on whether there was any new information or whether this scope and number and everything all continued to work.
Your Worship, the scope is still as was presented at Community Services Committee, and we're still prepared to move forward on that direction.
With this budget amount?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we don't have any further delays or concerns or needs to come back with this, because we've discussed it, and even during the course of our debates, a young woman I know who would have benefited from this potentially, and that is the third person I know. And so I just want to ensure that once we've allocated these funds, we can do this work swiftly. So if that's the case, then that's useful reassurance. Thank you. I'll take the chair back. Councillor Anderson.
In the profile description, who will I be talking to?
Gord is most familiar with his profile.
Mr. Sebrick, under the description of the profile, it talks about adding a tension cable barrier, new stainless steel posts. Are they replacing something that's there now?
No, Councillor, these are in addition. They are attachments.
Thank you. And new stainless steel mesh to replace existing. Does that mean taking down a mesh that's there and replacing it with the same amount of mesh but stainless instead of not stainless?
Councillor Anderson, it changes the design of the mesh so that it's more compact and not as scalable.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there anyone wishing to speak to this? Councillor Oshry.
Well, just quickly, you know, I think a lot of us were moved at the Community Services Committee when we heard stories about the impact that this has on many, many citizens. And so so there's that sort of heartfelt piece of this. But practically speaking, I won't speak to that, but practically speaking, you know, this is our infrastructure that we inherited, obviously, from 100 years ago or so, but the fact is it's not safe. And the city, I think, has an ultimate responsibility to make sure that our infrastructure is safe. So I think it's, therefore, it's our responsibility to fix that problem. And, you know, I had some concerns originally about the architectural dynamics of this, because this is an icon in our city, but that was covered to my satisfaction. And, you know, the evidence that we heard and the anecdotal evidence that we heard really demonstrated that decision for someone to end their life is not about, look, some people unfortunately are committed to doing it, and they're going to be able to do it. So, but there's a big percentage of the population, as one gentleman put it, that is not. They don't want to die, but they want to die right now, and this is going to put some pause in that, and I think will ultimately save a lot of lives, but also save a lot of heartache for other people that are associated with that. And so, with that, I hope everybody supports this. Thank you.
Councillor Essinger.
Thank you, and I too support this. I think it's our responsibility, as Councillor Oshry had said, but if we can do a little bit that'll deter someone from taking this opportunity, then it's worth the investment. And how do you really measure a life? how do we measure the impact? And I think some of the things that I was also surprised was not only the impact of the families, but for those who have to rescue people, and some of their safety involved is very important for us to go down this route. So if we can give them some cause to pause, then it is an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of not only individuals but entire families. So please support. Thank you.
I think we're ready to vote. Please vote. Display the vote. And that is carried unanimously. We have joining us now Colin Payton's grade 6 class from George H. Luck School in Ward 9. Welcome. Your counselor is Counselor Anderson. He is there, but we are all very pleased to see you here. So we are about to discuss Complete Streets, CAP 28. Counselor Knack is up. Counselor McKean, you're on the board. Is that from before?
I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. Just checking. Counselor Knack to introduce CAP 28.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the page before it, we have the file for active transportation. This is not very different. In fact, if you read the description, it talks about the composite program constructs roadway infrastructure that is needed to complete a street to ensure that design reflects the surrounding areas such as sidewalks, curb ramps, bicycle infrastructure, additional lanes, etc. Not unlike complete street, or not unlike active transportation, I think this should have been a must. I think actually, and with complete streets, knowing that reading through the policy, this will help address some operational concerns. Complete streets is designed so that when you're redoing a roadway that maybe had curb line sidewalks beforehand, you can actually create a boulevard to better deal with snow, which is a huge issue actually for a lot of us. I've already started getting a few calls of when we bladed an area and put snow up onto a sidewalk. So that's the idea and the intent behind complete streets, not just to complete a neighborhood, but also to make it operationally easier for us to deal with as a city. That will actually save us money operationally in the long run. So that's my opening.
With questions, Councillor Henderson?
Just to clarify what we've already approved in this budget, just in the arterial road piece alone, $60 million a year. So that's $240 million over the length of this budget, correct?
$220 million over the
420,
four years.
Right? So for $220 million, if we do not give you this package, we're going to do all of that work, which will be there for 30, 40 years to come before we go near it again. But we'll get exactly what we have right now, and there'll be no opportunity to take our complete streets policy and apply it, really.
We typically replace like for like with about a 10% allowance for improvements to the local neighborhood.
So any real chance to kind of get the kind of thing that our complete streets policy would talk about with all the work we're doing right now only becomes possible if we have this package in here.
Correct.
And that opportunity for that $240 million of work, all of those roads, will not come up again for another 30 years.
Well, there's about half of those arterial roads would be sort of complete streets eligible.
Understanding the whole point of complete streets is different, but this is I guess the point is this is the window, right?
Correct.
And if we don't take the window, the opportunity on those roads, and it's a significant piece of work, does not come up again for a significant period of time.
Correct.
Okay. So, we understood when we approved that, you know, we had a report back on that earlier package, correct me if I'm wrong, to say that we needed, it's not that there was no reason to do this, but we needed to do it as a different piece of work because they had to sit as separate packages, but they're designed to go together. You haven't made this number out of nowhere. It's based on the amount of work you think you're going to be doing in the next 4 years. It's already approved, right?
Correct. Transportation Committee received that October 1.
Yeah. And this package is designed to go with a whole bunch of other stuff that we have in there. It just hasn't been funded yet.
Correct.
Thanks.
Councillor Sohi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support this, but I'm trying to understand why, the segregation. You have neighborhood renewal program, you have the arterial program, then you get this. I raised that at the Transportation Committee as well. When you have this approach for, you know, one city approach, then you have these different programs, one here, one here, one here, right? I'm just trying to understand why could this not be part of the, say, the arterial program and part of the neighborhood renewal program?
There's no reason they can't. They are an opportunity for council to clearly outline where you want to appropriate your funds and how you want them directed.
So, Councillor Sohi, maybe I could answer that just a little bit differently. The reason that it's not likely to be part of the neighborhood renewal program is because that has a specific and dedicated source of funding, as you know.
Yeah.
And one of the strong arguments that this and the previous council has made to the taxpaying public is that because it's a neighborhood program and everybody lives in a neighborhood, eventually your neighborhood will get done, and that's why it's fair for everybody to pay a piece of it. So it's sort of part and parcel of the philosophy of the funding for that program.
But these things that have been done is also in the neighborhood.
I understand that. Our arterial roads, it's a little bit.
That's what I'm saying too, both neighborhood and arterial.
Okay, so on the arterial road side, that's a rehabilitation project, and what the Complete Streets program is more of an enhancement or a growth project. And so not every arterial road that is in need of rehab would actually be in need of a Complete Streets treatment. And I believe that the report that Transportation tabled on October 1st highlighted that probably only about half, $24 million out of the $55 million, would actually require a Complete Streets enhancement. And at the time, we did ask for Transportation Committee's, I guess, input with respect to what kind of a funding scheme they were comfortable seeing, and unfortunately the report just got received for information. And I think that's because it's something that, while it's very desirous to have it done, it's a challenge to figure out exactly how to fund it. So I didn't mean that in any way as a criticism of Transportation Committee, just indicative of the fact that it's a challenging discussion.
Yeah, so this will be housed in the transportation services, right, under transportation planning?
Yes.
Is there any separate administration to this, or just part of the overall within that system?
It would be part of our overall program. When we go and do look at arterial renewal, we take into account the Complete Streets approach.
So it's not like that, okay, in order to, if there's an opportunity for Complete Streets, then you have somebody in the transportation planning would have to talk to someone else in the transportation planning to get approval to add this into the overall construction work.
We do all the major the conceptual plan, and we do that with operations in the construction groups all at the same time. So we're all at the table at the same time to deliver these projects.
Okay, well, I support this, but I just see that there are too many different pieces in the work that needs to be done in the community.
So, Councillor Hohe, maybe what we can do in the future is actually come up with a funding strategy approach on the budget side that we can explain to you in a better way, because it doesn't take a matching in order, like not all arterial roads need a Complete Streets
But if you
approach.
Have one person or one area.
Yes, looking at the budget,
right?
Yeah. And Mr. Wanzura perhaps could commit to actually bringing back a report on a regular basis that actually describes what our actual arterial road projects are going forward and what the Complete Streets treatment would be.
All right. We could do that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Walters.
Thank you. So, in your opinion, Mr. Wanzura, why do we have a Complete Streets program? Like, what compels the program?
So we're using Westmont as kind of as one of our big pilot projects. It's a neighborhood that's going in for reconstruction in 2015. So what's compelling us is that obviously the big component of the Complete Streets is the public involvement. And we talked to the citizens about lane configurations, on-street parking, speed volume management, landscaping, sidewalks, curb extensions, so the whole spectrum of the network.
So the reason we're compelled to have that program is because it's part of our vision, the way we move.
That's
vision,
correct.
Right? So this is why, and so as is the case with active transportation, why they wouldn't why it wouldn't be more integrated. So why? How in the next capital budget can we ensure that when it comes back to us, they're integrated? So we're not debating one or the other. Because I think that if the case would be, if you had brought us a $230 million number on Arturo Road rehabilitation instead of a $220 million number, the $230 million included the complete, nobody would have batted an eye, because nobody's really questioning that. I've heard the 220, so I don't know, considering it's part of our vision, why we're questioning the 10.
So, Councilor Walters, well, we did the majority of the work with prioritizing the renewal package and just put that in front of you. We were very cognizant of the fact that we wanted council to help prioritize the growth, and Complete Streets is part of a growth package. I think that the strategy going forward, and if I could, and I don't mean this to be an excuse, but in the last budget, we underfunded Arturo Roads. We took a huge step up in funding Arturo Roads and are doing a lot more work. And so $10 million, while it's not a great percentage of the $220 million, it's still a big amount of money.
We have many profiles that combine growth, many, many, many profiles,
yes,
that combine renewal and growth. And since this is part of our vision, I would think that it's so embedded in our vision.
But this is actually the first time that we've had a dedicated arterial program and the associated Complete Streets. And all I'm saying to you is that we've learned a lesson and we'll bring back a strategy.
So, yeah, they...
That ties the two things together. Absolutely.
Good. And you said not every road is in need, but it's the process through which you determine the need is what?
Well, it really depends on the classification of the road, the neighborhood, the character of the neighborhood, and about half of those would fall into that Complete Streets category.
Right. So you have a criteria that's council-directed already that allows you to make those determinations without us having to micromanage every project. It's just in a capital budget you could bring forward. Here's the Arturo rehabilitation strategy contained within the Complete Streets projects.
Correct.
No fuss, no muss. Okay, thanks.
Councillor Anderson.
Well, obviously, if there's an arterial road with curb cuts already on every one of four corners at every intersection, you're not going to do that Complete Streets component, right? So there's an example of what might not be necessary on a arterial road rehab.
Correct.
Now, Mr. Holmes, I thought I heard Mr. Wanzera, in response to a question by another councillor, say that the amount of money is 220 spent on arterial roads.
Yes. Or our arterial four-year program.
And that 10% of that was available to do some form of Complete Streets pieces.
It would more likely be along the lines of Skona Road, some minor treatments.
There's nothing minor about Skona, what you did at Skona Road. That's the classiest retaining walls and landscaping in the city of Edmonton.
Pardon me, I should have said 99th Street south of Saskatchewan.
With 100 decorator bollards and so on and so forth. So 10% of 220 is you're already able to do $5.5 million worth of Complete Streets issues in the program as it exists. $5.5 million a year.
It would be about
10%. You
know, about 10% is the rough number used for meeting local needs without getting too significant.
So inside the program, as suggested by Councillor Walters, you already have $5.5 million for Complete Streets items included, and this is asking for another $2.5 million a year to make the investment $8 million on Complete Streets stuff.
To be consistent with the Complete Streets policy.
Correct.
Correct.
Yep. So, in speaking to it, we're already...
If there are no other questions, we can transition to speaking. Yes, sure.
We're already doing $5.5 million worth of Complete Streets stuff within the program, and what we're being asked to is to add another $2.5 million a year for 4 years. Thanks.
Councillor Knack has questions still.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I guess just to that question, I mean, again, complete streets is less so about beauty and more so about function.
Correct.
And so this is, you're not asking for, I mean, the reason we put this forward is we're not looking to put another $2.5 million per year just to pretty up the streets. We want to make them more functional so that the work that everyone has to do within the city of Edmonton, whether that's snow clearing, whether that's a number of different things, is that much easier to do, and they can be that much more effective.
Correct. Dealing with making sure the streets are safe for users, encouraging active transportation, mode shift, greenhouse gas reduction, that sort of thing.
And unfortunately, that 5.5 right now isn't really enough to do everything you probably should be doing if we were following complete streets.
The 5.5 in...
To Councillor Anderson's question, I mean, that's not quite enough. That's not filling the entire gap. This fills that gap that we really should have been, in my opinion.
That notion of 10% 10% investment does not really, it doesn't really reflect the intent of the complete streets policy.
All right. Thank you.
So, Councillor Essinger, if you can take the chair.
Have the chair.
And start my time.
Oh, you like time too.
In the interest of time, oh, I popped off again. Well, I shouldn't take five. So if the principle is that it's an extra 10% to manage or to incorporate essentially growth features that accommodate different modes and are configured differently than like-for-like replacement, I'm now trying to put together what Councillor Anderson was saying about that there's $5 million of that already included. Is that $5 million... Because you said half of the $240 million is eligible for complete streets, so that would be, say, $110, $120 million. And then is it 10% of that is how we get to $10 million?
I'm going to ask Gord to wait in here a bit.
So, Your Worship, typically the complete streets alternatives and options are applicable to where we're doing reconstruction or rehabilitation. So in our $55 million a year program, that includes also mill and overlay locations. So if we were...
Where you don't have the curbs apart and everything, you're not going to change the cross-section of the road.
Correct. So that portion of the program would not really have any opportunity for complete streets.
Okay. So it's the reconstruct major renewal...
The major renewal, wherever we're doing any curb work, that would certainly be the opportunity.
And that's about half of the package?
Correct.
And so 10% of that is how you get to $10 million? Roughly?
Roughly.
Okay. And then, so what about, Councillor Anderson was asking something that I didn't quite catch, about $5 million is already happening. Is that in conjunction with neighborhood renewal or with...
I think that was from the notion that if we're doing $220 million of roads, roughly half of them might be eligible, and 10% would be for local adjustments beyond a like-for-like. I think that's where the math came from.
Because you've got that 5% growth in most of your renewal profiles, right?
5%.
Now, does that cover complete streets, or does that cover turn bays that are about channelization and traffic flow optimization?
Not usually it will. It may cover the turn base, but they're usually significant enough that that's a significant enhancement that goes beyond the 5%.
So is the 5% covering complete streets type stuff then? Or
that is part of it, yes, and other opportunities. So if there are, say, for example, where we're doing a reconstruction and there's an opportunity to do some active modes enhancements and combine with the active modes programs, those are the types of things that will fit together.
But the gap right now for you to meet the expectations or guidelines or whatever that's set out in the complete streets policy, is it a policy or is it a strategy?
There's a policy, C573.
Yeah, okay, so it's complete streets policy. The gap to meet that fully is $10 million, not $5
million. Yes.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on all of that. Okay, thank you. I'll take back the chair and go to Councillor Nicol.
Yeah, it would certainly help me to understand what are the metrics and outcomes for complete streets are. So, Mr. Seabrook, can you give me one, two, three as to what happens?
again, I go to some of the pilot projects that we started. So Westmont, 112th Avenue, those type of projects. So the $10 million is to help us keep that momentum going. And again, it's...
What does that mean, keep the momentum going? You guys keep talking in terms of process, not results. So I want to hear about results.
So the results are, is the public involvement in delivering a product that the neighborhood wants. And it involves all those infrastructure components that we've talked about.
Okay, go through them again for me. Infrastructure components.
So when we go into the neighborhoods, we talk about the lane widths, the current configurations, what they could be, the on-street parking, speed, volume management, landscape, sidewalks, curb extensions, pedestrian considerations at the intersections. So there's a whole list of topics that we talk about with the neighborhoods.
But certainly there has to be, every neighborhood would have the same kind of requirement to deal with every street that they're on, do they not? So I'm just questioning why this, which should receive a higher priority than anybody else.
So again, it's moving away from that like-for-like infrastructure and engaging the community and seeing if we can't, while we're there, bring that infrastructure up to a higher quality for them, higher quality of life.
Higher quality of life.
Curb. The neighborhood.
Like a curb. Is that a higher quality of life? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if we're making the neighborhood more walkable, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's very interesting. Thank you.
Any other questions? To speak to it, or do you have questions, or speak? To speak to it, Councillor Henderson.
Yeah, I just, you know, because I keep on making this joke that I still have the scars of the 99th Street debacle, but I want to be clear that if, you know, that this allows us to do it right, and we did not do 99th Street right. If the people along 99th Street could have this package, 99th Street would look very different from what it does today. What we did was spend way more money than we should have done, putting a Band-Aid on after the fact with bollards that are a help, but are not what a complete street gets you. And I think it's time. I think we learned huge lessons from 99th Street about how to do it right, how to take our complicated streets. And the whole point of complete streets is it's context-based. You look at what the street is, and you come up with the right context for all the users. And it allows us to do that. And there's no point in sending people out there to go to do that kind of work if they don't have any money then to actually make it happen. And this will allow the kind of mess that we made and the kind of lost opportunity we had along 99th Street not to happen again. And if we don't put it here, if we don't give them some ability to make it happen and do more than just put bollards on after the fact without having done anything to actually really change the road, then we're going to have more situations where those kind of clashes between all the people that want to use a street are going to continue to happen, and people aren't going to be safe, and we're going to be trying after the fact for years after, because we won't want to rebuild the road, to go back and fix something that we could get right now. And we need to give them the resources to do it.
Anybody else? Not seeing any takers. Please vote. Display the vote. And that is carried. All right. We're up next is CAP 29. Councillor McKean?
It's Henderson, actually.
Is it? Oh, yeah, it is Councillor Henderson, actually. CAP 29. Was it?
Yep.
Was that?
Yeah. Yep. Well, okay. I think this is another good example of what I just was talking about. This allows us to do the proper street. I mean, this is one of our two densest neighborhoods in the city where people have made a commitment to a different way of living. To go in and do all the work on fixing Jasper Avenue right now without looking at the question of how all users are able to use it and doing a streetscape that actually allows for that use, but leaving it as the kind of 30 or 40-year-old vision that we have there right now, We will not get this chance again. You will be living with this street for another 30, 40 years, not serving the population that has moved in here in the 30 or 40 years since this road was developed. And this is the money, again, to make sure that we build this street right, that we build the kind of city that we say we want to build. And it seems to me it's a kind of nonsense that we would go. This package was designed specifically to go with what can be built on Jasper Avenue in the package that's already funded to make sure that we build the kind of city we say we want to build. And I think it would be absolutely crazy to go forward and do the refurbishment work on this road without bringing it up to the kind of standards that is part of the city we've describing in one of our two densest neighborhoods. So I would urge people to support it. I think, again, it would be a crazy opportunity lost if we didn't do this.
Questions? Councillor McKean?
You know, I just have one line of questioning. Mr. Wanzura, can you explain to me how this profile fell off the table when it is Edmonton's main street, where we wouldn't have looked at this as an opportunity to do an urban design on this and just do a straight rehab? Like-for-like rehab? Do you know why that happened?
Not particularly. I think one of the things that we've been, on an operating perspective, we've been watching this street for a number of years. It was first identified in 2004 as a need of renewal and attention. I'm going to ask Peter Ohm to kind of weigh in from the planning perspective, but it is an opportunity for us to align these up with some enhanced money
to follow up with you on what you just said. You've been watching it since 2004. What can you sort of categorize what shape it's in right now? Is it pretty critical?
Councilor McKean, it certainly is deteriorated. The base has significant failure aspects. It was actually in the previous budget cycle, but it was below the cutoff, so it was deferred until this budget.
Okay. Mr. Rover, do you have anything to add on why these two components work together?
Yes, Councilor. I mean, through the scoring system that was taken to rank the projects, what I can say is the positive is that this made it in as an unfunded file for you to consider as opposed to being on attachment 6. But essentially it was really the need to reconstruct the arterial portion of the road that drove the whole project. Yeah. If we could have delayed that, we perhaps could have considered an alternative to staging this. But being as it is that this came up first, and it was a priority to address, given its current condition. The enhancement just didn't make it.
Okay. Thanks. That's it for now, Mr. Bush.
Okay. Councillor Oshry?
Just a quick question on timing. Councillor McKean raised an issue, I can't remember when, it's been a long couple of weeks, that there would be appropriate consultation for this. Is that correct? That we haven't done yet?
I think we've scheduled 2 years of consultation, 15 and 16, and potential construction in 17, 18, potentially even into 19.
Okay, so this money would be spent between in this capital budget then if we went, because I think you mentioned that you hadn't considered consultation for this. I thought someone said that earlier.
So, Councillor Oshry, the intent is that the funding is for the entire scope of renewal. However, starting in 17, the project would likely take 3 to 4 years, so it would span into the next project or the next capital budget cycle.
Okay. So,
and Councillor, speaking to CAP 29, directly to CAP 29, certainly the development of a concept design for the streetscape improvements and the eventual construction would include a pretty generous element of consultation.
Okay, but so for a timing, do we need to park the entire amount then if this is going to go over to capital budgets?
I think what we have is an opportunity to combine the consultation for both the arterial rehab and the streetscape in the first 2 years of the cycle and construction in the last 2 years.
So it'll all be spent by the, except for...
For streets 109 to 16, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anderson.
In the profile description on 231A, it says at least twice that the East 7 block section, 109 to 116th Street, is a candidate for reconstruction in 2017. But you're not funding it?
No, it's a funded renewal profile.
And the $8.7 million that you're asking for is a complete streets component of the funded arterial road renewal.
It would be an enhanced streetscape.
So what are you spending? What is the arterial road rehab amount spent on those seven blocks without this unfunded package?
So the construction reconstruction component is approximately $8 million for the section from 109 to 116.
So you're going to spend $8 million putting in what? What? New pavement, just, or new pavement and curbs and gutters?
Curb and gutter, sidewalk, and road basin pavement.
So you're spending $8 million for new road, new curbs, new gutters, and new sidewalks, and you're going to spend an equal amount on what? You're going to spend the same amount as building the whole new road, curb, gutter, and sidewalk on what?
If you're talking, Councillor, about some overlap, there would be some. We wouldn't necessarily elevate the streetscaping to the level of Jasper Avenue currently, but we would look at different materials for the pavement surfaces and different types of curb, different types of street furniture, etc.
So the answer is yes. You're going to enhance the aesthetics.
Correct.
For the same amount as rebuilding the whole road, curb, gutter, and sidewalk.
On a point of clarification, Mr. Chair.
Well, wait till I get my answer, please.
Yeah, we'll come back on for questions, Councillor. We'll give you a chance to ask questions.
Yeah, because
Mr. Rom or Mr. Sevick, is that correct?
I know. Yeah.
Or Mr. Wanzera.
Sure.
Everybody's tongue-tied today.
No, that's all right. If you took the road renewal profile separately, $8 million for those two, it was a standalone project. That would get you road reconstruction, pavement, curbs, gutters,
and sidewalk,
urban cross section.
Yep.
The whole line of questioning here presumes that the renewal profile is eight, but the profile that's in the book that's funded is 16.
18.
Is it not? Or it's 18.
It's 18, and that covers the entire project from 109 to 124.
The reconstruction project is on page 328.
That's different than what we were told during the questioning.
Yeah.
So I think that where Councillor Anderson's getting his math is that the reconstruct project is twice as long as the enhancements project. So yes, it's $18 million for 109th to 124th, but the enhancement is from 109th to 116th.
I'm asking a simple question. From 109th to 116th on Jasper, to replace the curbs, gutters, sidewalks, and pavement and rebuild that road from building to building, how much does that cost?
So, Councillor Anderson, that's approximately half of the overall project profile.
That's $8 million.
Yes, in addition, there's the design component, so about
9.2.
Okay. So that's 9.2. And this one that we are discussing now, Jasper Place Streetscape Improvements, Oliver, for streetscape improvements is an additional 8.7. So we're spending on streetscaping for not twice as long, for 109th to 116th, we're rebuilding the whole road, curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, and then we're going to spend almost as much on streetscape stuff. And the answer is yes, correct?
I think, Councillor, what you're pointing to, if we combine the budgets and look at the same amount of work with some enhancements, there's going to be savings between the two profiles, yes.
Okay, I'll give up. Thanks.
Well, we asked you that. We asked you that during the questions. And these things were apples and oranges then. So, Councillor Walters.
So,
If we approved this, hypothetically, if we approved this profile that's unfunded in front of us now, and now you had all of that to work with, you said there would be some savings. So the $18 million might not be $18 million in the funded profile. The $8 million in this profile might not be $8 million. Together, they might be collectively less. Is that?
In my view, that there's an opportunity for it to be less.
Kurt. All right. Deputy Mayor, take the chair.
Have the chair.
Okay, so let's get clear on the base project. The funded profile for renewal, which happens in two phases, is $18 million bucks from 109th Street to 116 for phase one, and from 16 to 24 at 124th for phase two. Correct?
Correct.
Phase two is not in this capital cycle, or it is?
The entire budget is in the cycle. However, I don't think we'll be able to complete all of it within the cycle. It would be there would likely be some construction that would carry over into 2019.
So now we're carrying valuable pay-as-you-go money from this cycle into the next cycle, and not funding the complete streets component of this, even much less the streetscape component. So let me just be clear. Is the $8 million that Councillor Anderson was asking about, and that's the subject of this amendment, is that for streetscaping from 9th to 16th or from 9th to 124th?
9th to 16th.
So Councillor Anderson's right. It's basically double the cost.
If you simply add the two profiles
together. If you simply add the two profiles together. But we have reached an accord that if you actually decided to integrate this work, which was the premise of all of the questions that started this out, there might be some efficiency.
That's correct, Worship.
And are we in a position to quantify that?
Just going to say, we can take that away. If there's a will to combine these, we can get you a better estimate on a combined profile for the two of them.
The other way of looking at this would be, is there sufficient money in the funded profile with what you think you can get done in this capital cycle to fund a decent streetscape and reconstruction and streetscaping of phase one?
Yes.
Up to 16th. Well, there, for sure there is if you can only get as far as 16th, because there's more than enough money then. If it's 9.2 for design and construction from 9th to 16th, and if at the worst case it's 8.7, then you've actually got money left over. But would you potentially be going further than 16th if you'd go as far as you could in this cycle and then carry over whatever you can't?
That would be the desire, is to try and make as much progress as possible.
But just so I'm clear, the full cost of doing Jasper, like for like, would be 19. Can I safely extrapolate that the cost of streetscaping, calculated this way as a full over and above with no efficiency, would be, another 8 or 10 million at this level of streetscapery?
We're estimating about $1.1 million per block.
Per block.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's 15 blocks, it'd be 16 point...
Give or take.
Okay. 16.5. Okay, so proportionately double what we got here. So the total cost, without any efficiencies being taken into consideration, would be 35, give or take?
That's okay. My math, yep.
Okay. So, on the assumption that there might be some efficiencies if we do this work together, and on the assumption that, there's actually a range of things, I'm trying to see if there's an option I can suggest, but I don't have enough information to suggest that option. The one other thing I want to ask, though, is that if there's $19 million worth of arterial renewal in here, and we've just moved complete streets, which is worth 10%, are we already $1.9 million of the way towards streetscaping?
Correct.
Touchdown. No, that's just, it's a field goal. It's not even a touchdown. It's something. We can build on this. So... So we're $1.9 million of the way towards an improved streetscape along Jasper Avenue. Okay, maybe we weren't asking the right questions the other day, but now it's clear in my mind. But now I'm not sure what to do with the information that we have. So, Councillor, I'll move a second round of questions.
Second.
Please vote on the second round. Display the vote. Carried.
So, Councillor McKean with questions. Oh, sorry, I'll take the chair back, and then I'll go to Councillor McKean.
Can I just, there seems to be a lot of moving parts on this piece, and adding more questions to the moving parts will mean the moving parts move more and more. I think we kind of got to get back to a base common understanding where everybody's on the same language, and I'm just wondering whether it makes sense to just hold this particular item in abeyance. We would like to take a recess, get our heads around this particular thing, and then maybe you could move on with a couple of other items.
Well, we don't really... Why don't we take a recess until you have an answer on how we could configure what our options are, and then you could give us options rather than us get at them through questioning. I think that's a good suggestion. But there are a couple of questions on the board that might illuminate a little bit more, so why don't we just work through a couple other quick questions here.
Maybe, Mr. Mayor, then, if you could then take sort of 5 minutes to summarize or less what you think the basic question is.
I'll let the councillors ask questions that may help illuminate that, and then I will potentially attempt to summarize that in the form of a motion that either gives you some direction in the recess, look at this, and this, or if it's clear from the discussion, then with the will of council, we can just take a break. You guys can bring some analysis, and then I think that's not a bad idea. We could extend the break, essentially, to allow that to occur. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will start with Councillor McKean.
Well, I guess my question then would be, and I think you were sort of getting at this, Mr. Mayor, but it seems to me, given that we have some complete streets money in there, plus it looks like this wasn't really coordinated, and the rehab was going to 24th, the others to 16th, the 18 million or 18.7, whatever it is, it seems to me we already have enough money in there to do 9th to 16th with proper consultation and design, and that would be my question. Can we do that? You can't answer that right now.
So that would be a question to consider over the break, potentially. I think that's fair.
So we've got that funded, so could we do it, what the community is asking for, to deliver a true urban street design on Jasper from 9th to 16th?
With what's provided.
With what's already provided.
Including the complete streets piece.
Yeah,
okay. That's a fair question, I think. Councillor Oshry.
So I don't know who would answer this, but has council previously said that Jasper Avenue on the west side of 109th is sort of is a focal point for the city, like it's the main sort of thoroughfare, it's the main entrance downtown, because it historically has been treated, from my memory, separate than 109th to 101st or whatever.
Councillor, it is identified in the CRL in the downtown plan as Edmonton's premier main street.
But we haven't historically spent the same amount of money on it as we have on Jasper Avenue east of downtown, correct?
That's correct. As you know, the enhancements we have had
east in of place
have been up to about 97th Street.
Okay, and can you just explain to me what's the extra stuff that we would be doing here? Can you give me a little bit? One of them says wayfinding, which I don't think we approved. But there's can you just give me a little bit of flavor for what we get for the extra money?
So just to point to some of the design elements or treatment elements in the Jasper Avenue vision, which we would take our cues from in terms of continuing that, but not to the same level of quality materials. We would certainly look at specific street furniture on the theme, the lighting of the poles, the lighting signalization, those poles, etc., other street furniture in terms of trash receptacles, benches, etc. And then there will be some treatment of the paving materials as well. There could be, in some cases, bulbs, which form the ends of blocks and provide angled parking on the streets that connect to the avenue. A good example of that would be Stony Plain Road or 118th Avenue.
And does 104th Avenue, now with the Arena District going and the brewery thing?
That's identified as a grand street, and in fact, we're already making investment in enhancing that street.
So how much on top of what we normally would have spent on that are we putting into that road?
I don't have the exact numbers, but the idea is that it's part of the complete streets network for downtown where there's a hierarchy. Some are local streets. In the case of 4th Avenue and Jasper Avenue, they are our grand streets through the downtown, and they do, in the scheme of things, are going to be getting extra attention in terms of the quality of landscaping and the design.
And going back to my first question, historically, west of 109th Street, that didn't happen. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But now we've outlined at some point before my time that between 124th and 109th should be the same as 109th to 99th or whatever?
I think it's been pointed out. We've had our eyes on the potential rehab of Jasper Avenue west of 9th Street for some time. And so our thoughts were that we would at some future opportunity be able to extend, again, some of the design cues and elements from Jasper Avenue west of 9th Street.
All right, thank you.
Councillor Anderson?
Well, if I take the two profiles at face value, there's 18.5 being spent on 109th to 124th Street to do sidewalk to sidewalk renew. But if you add 8.7, you're going to do pavement materials and a whole bunch of streetscape things to half of it. You're going to do markings on the pavements up to 116th, but when you complete the rest of it, you're not going to do pavement markings because there's no money to do it. And I'm assuming that there are other things that are going to be treated completely differently in phase one than phase two, because they're only, you know, we're only considering funding phase one. The two profiles, I'm not, if we don't do the streetscape, everybody gets brand new sidewalks, brand new curbs, brand new gutters, brand new roads, and whatever else the 10% that's always in there for complete streets can get you. Thanks.
Councillor Caterina?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and certainly I've always thought Jasper Avenue was the main thoroughfare and the main street here in the city of Edmonton. That's where we're identified.
Do you have questions, Councillor?
Yeah, there is a question because of now the conversation here that Councillor Oshry brought up. So 109th West now has been elevated in status. Mr. Rome?
Well, it was elevated in our thinking for the...
It has been elevated in status.
Okay.
So now it has basically the same status as 109 to 97th?
No, it doesn't. As I mentioned, okay, we would certainly have a different budget and approach to enhancing the streetscape west of 9th.
Lower?
Lower.
So, okay, so Jasper Avenue technically is 109 to 97th. The west side here is Jasper Avenue, but it's
in Oliver.
Part of Oliver. Okay, going east, because it seems to me that that's where we've had the most success in the stadium TOD. The old GWG site is almost complete. There are three more high rises going in within a one block radius, basically next to that, to 82nd Street, where Jasper Avenue sort of terminates and turns into 82nd. So why has there never been any consideration
for one of the most successful sections of Jasper Avenue to enhance that portion of it, even not to the extent of Jasper Avenue itself, but at least to the extent of Oliver.
So Mr. Chuchenko could speak more to this, but certainly through the Quarters Initiative, we are looking to do enhancements along Jasper Avenue. However, I just want to point out one of the drivers behind doing something in Oliver is the arterial rehab. I can't speak to the situation of Jasper Avenue's roadbed or the arterial condition to say whether that would also drive a complementary effort around streetscaping.
Okay, Mr. Chuchenko, can you maybe speak? Is there something in the pipe that we don't know about yet, because that's been your most successful. From all the projects we approved in high rises over the past two terms, Glenora's, Nowhere, and on, that particular project was approved and they are on their fourth building. So with the other ones being hopefully following suit.
The Jasper Avenue improvements east of 97th Street yep. to about 95th Street would be part of probably phase three of the Quarter CRL. It's not contemplated in phase two, which is before council at this time. And if we were to proceed with those improvements, they would be akin to those that are between 97th Street and 109th Street. Okay. East of 95th Street, however, that has yet to be determined. And quite frankly, the reason for the success of those high-rises, and those are Regency projects, are because of the housing incentives that went along with those projects to create the opportunity for the developer to garner the financing to make those proceed. So it's very much part of the work that we're doing in the Quarters to stimulate that kind of an investment in that area.
Okay, so is there anything in plans, I'm not talking about today, but in the future, that is actually now going to get some consideration as improving their status as well, too, on the work needed?
I would think it would be. Councillor Katerina, the intent is to respond to the areas that we receive developer interest in making investments. And you're right, that is one of the hot spots in the Quarters that is moving along quickly. We have other plans for the area. It would be logical that we would redirect any catalytic investments to those areas where the industry is responding with that kind of an investment.
Okay, so it's on your radar.
Well, it's absolutely on the radar, but to suggest we have definitive plans, we don't, not at this time.
Okay, but it is on the radar that that stretch from 95 to 82
is worthy considered of, as is being worthy worked of attention, on. As is the connection across the LRT tracks to the stadium.
Right, and then access down to the River Valley from that point as well, too.
Absolutely, and it's part of the broader connectivity with 111th Avenue.
Hold on, I have a point of order.
We're not talking about stadium TOD in this amendment.
No, we're not.
No, I think the question originated from how is it the same or different than other parts of Jasper Avenue,
right.
Which I think
we're talking
a fair
about
question.
Jasper
I think
Avenue.
I think the councillor's point of order though is well taken that we're now starting to talk about other projects, which
I'm not talking about any other project. I'm still talking about Jasper Avenue. It goes from 82nd Street to 124th Street, and I want to understand what the status is of all these sections brought up by Councillor Oshry, that there's a different standard for 109th West than there is from 109th East to 97th Street. That's considered Jasper Avenue the premier street. The other one is not considered Jasper Avenue, even though technically it is considered Oliver.
Jasper Avenue.
I'm not talking about stadium TOD or any.
Well, you did raise them, and I think that's where the point of order came from, but I understand where you're making the connection to understanding what is Jasper Avenue. So.
Yeah, we've been most successful on Jasper Avenue at the east side. To this point, in my eyes.
I understood the comparison, but as we started talking about the TOD,
I didn't mention the TOD.
Stadium TOD. I thought you did.
I didn't. I think Walter Central.
Mr. Apologies. I raised the issue of the TOD.
I didn't raise any issue about TOD.
All right. Then you're out of order, Mr. Chuchenko.
My apologies, Councillor.
Okay.
Well-intentioned all around. Thank you. Councillor Henderson, do you have questions that may help clarify this?
As the mover of the motion, I would just like, I would like to hear back from administration after a break, but just to try and frame what my intentions were on this. In terms that my understanding is that we're going to be working on this road. which is what makes it a priority to answer these questions, because this is the bit of Jasper Avenue we're going to be working on, because we have approved money, assuming the budget passes, to do the reconstruction of what's there. Correct. We heard from a number of people from this neighborhood that there, in terms of safety, in terms of how pedestrians work in there, that in terms of how it's functioning for them, for the 40,000 people that live in that neighborhood, that it's not working for them the way it's currently designed, and that they wanted a chance to make sure that as we go forward, we can come up with a better solution for the Oliver that exists right now. That's what they're asking for. So all I want to know is how, as we go forward on this project, that we do not lose the opportunity to be able to do that work, what resources we need for the entire section, to be honest, although it may happen over two construction periods, the entire section to make sure that a neighborhood that is functioning perfectly in terms of the way, the kind of city we want to build, in terms of the densities we want to have, in terms of people using transit, people walking, not necessarily having cars, bikes as well, although that's on the 102nd Avenue piece, that we have the resources to make sure we can answer those questions in the redesign of this road. That's all I'd like to know. And that one way or another, we come up with the right number to achieve that end. That's what my question is. So with that having been said, I will stop.
Okay, I think those would be good questions. That's helpful guidance, hopefully, to the questions we might get when we come back. Councillor Nicol? And at some point, after Councillor Nicol, ideally, we can break and let them chew on this a little bit.
I have just one quick question. How many linear feet is a city block? When you can come back with that, I'd like to know that metric.
Typical block's about 600 feet on the long side. Typical
600 linear feet?
That's pretty standard.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I would, I guess the question I'll ask as the chair is, do you have enough of the variables identified to chew on this a little bit and either bring us a recommendation or some options?
Yes, we do. I think we have trimarried this one funded profile with the one that's one moving from unfunded to funded. We'll line them up and we'll get you some advice.
Plus the complete streets piece, which might touch this for some of it, plus the time scale piece over the two capital cycles.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I think if you can bring us some clarification on that, that would be good. How long do you need?
30 minutes.
So if we recess now and come back at the appointed 3:45, then we can pick up and you guys can give us a bit of a clarification.
Yep.
Okay. That was a good suggestion, Mr. Farbrother, I think, to give you guys a chance to chew on it. So I just need a motion to recess.
I'll move early. That we recess until 3:45.
Second. Okay. That was seconded by Councillor Walters. Please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. We're in recess until 3:45. Thank you. This is an example of...